Hi, everyone, and welcome to Televisions, the podcast, an audio companion to the Televisions website and a show made by Anglophiles for Anglophiles. I am Lacey Barger-Miles, and I'm the editor here at Televisions. And joining me, as per usual, is my co-host, Miss Annie Bundle.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm going to make a bold statement to start off this show. And so I just want to set the tone for what is about to happen, so that all of you who are regular listeners of the pod will know what to expect and can either get excited or just skip to the next episode appropriately. And that is, after 3 years of trying, I have found a show that I dislike more than guilt.
I was going to actually ask, who amongst us is the one with the monkey's paw here? Is it you? Is it me? Because I feel like you wished really, really hard, really, really loudly on this pod at some point for a lineup in which there were zero mysteries and, you know, romances for you.
Yes, but we all know I meant period dramas, not this crap.
Well, we got period dramas. We got Nolly. And now we have Alice and Jack.
Yeah, that also sucked. But it's not as bad as this show, which is called, for those of you who have not watched it yet, let me just blatantly encourage you not to do so. Your life will be better. It is called Alice and Jack. And it is a masterpiece contemporary love story. I wish that you could see me, because I would be putting love stories in some real big, like, air quotes. Because Masterpiece and I have apparently a very different definition of what constitutes a love story than I thought we did. And that's very upsetting.
Yeah.
But it is very non-traditional masterpiece fare, and I hope the lesson we learn is to not air things like this again, because it is not good. And I'm just going to put it out there. Like, I feel like I really could not stand the show. So luckily, we brought on our recapper, Marnie Cerise, to talk about it, although I'm not sure that she liked it any more than I did. Hi, Marnie.
Hello. I also did not. I did not appreciate this show.
I mean, I figure I might as well just, like, rip the Band-Aid off at the beginning. So if you really love this show, like, don't listen to this episode, because I'm going to harsh your buzz.
Yes. Same.
Okay. Okay. I'm not going to actually disagree with either of these takes, because I found this show utterly unbearable. But I would like...
It is so pretentious.
I would like, before we actually get into the meat of this show, to talk a little bit about it as from a meta standpoint. Okay? Because, you know, there was a very long time where Masterpiece did not do contemporary shows.
They had a period where they had a whole vertical that was called Masterpiece Contemporary, which, by the way, a lot of that was not good.
Yeah. And when that actually started, for those of you who are old enough to remember when it was Masterpiece Theater, there was actually an edict from the funder at the time that there were no contemporary shows. The funder did not want contemporary shows. And when he said contemporary shows, he actually meant, like, Downton Abbey. Okay, like, under that edict, Downton Abbey would never have come over. That ended in 2007, and that's partly why Mystery was its own vertical that aired on Thursdays, because that way they could have contemporary shows there. And by getting rid of Masterpiece Theater and combining them, they could suddenly move the Mysteries to Sunday and not have this problem anymore. But in doing so, like, they did start to bring over contemporaries. But as you notice, Masterpiece Contemporary is not really its own vertical anymore, and kind of disappeared real quick, because the truth is that when Masterpiece does quote unquote contemporary, what we end up with most of the time is, well, Downton Abbey. Which, when I said that to Marnie the other day, she looked at me and said, "That's contemporary."
No, I remember, some of y'all old heads out there will remember this with me, that there was a show, and it was called, I swear I'm not making this up, Google it, like, The Song of Lunch.
Oh, yes!
And it legit had, like, Emma Thompson and Alan Rickman in it, and I'm sorry, I will literally watch them do anything, but watching them read the phone book might have been better than that. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of the very first Masterpiece Contemporaries that came over. I think that was, like, circa 2008. Yeah, that was like within the first couple of years. And yes, it was terrible.
And I really feel like I don't feel, like, good about trashing something that starred Emma Thompson and Alan Rickman.
And
my most infuriating segment of Love Actually that I can't believe is the only one they don't resolve.
Okay. Anyway, point being, Marnie, since you are sort of our one of our newest podcast members, our contributors,
yes, ma'am.
And this is your first experience with sort of a Masterpiece Contemporary, why don't you A, sort of sum up what this show is supposed to be about, and
sure.
then sort of give us your take on it.
All right. Well, okay. So Alice and Jack stars Donald Gleason, and Andrea Riseborough as the titular characters. They are, it's modern day in England, and they meet through a dating app. You kind of go back, you meet them first as a couple, and then you go back to see how they met. The first date is weird. She just kind of peppers him with questions and he's very nervous. And he's like, is this how the dating app is usually supposed to go? Because that's, this is his first experience with the app. But anyway, she deems him worthy. They go back to her place, do the thing, which you don't see. It's PBS clean. After he falls asleep, she wakes him up strangely and kind of kicks him out. But very clearly, like, she's like, this is the end of that. Don't call me. Don't text me, kind of thing. But he's already under her spell. And you don't really get why. It's sort of this. He immediately has fallen for her. He's immediately obsessed with her. He starts talking to his good friend Paul, who's played by Sunil Patel. Great character actor in this show. Much better, much more interesting than Jack and Alice themselves. Paul tells him, like, she was very clear. Don't pursue this. She didn't want you to text her. She didn't want you to call her. Jack decides to text her anyway. She seems happy about this, but does not respond. There's plenty of time later. They reconnect after she has not responded to him, and he's still obsessed. Like, it's
been like a year and a half at this point, which is what I need to underline, because
yes.
These people are unwell.
They definitely. Oh, my God. The two of them for sure are made for each other in the most horrible way. So they have a second date. She lets him stay over this time. And then
a year and a half later.
A year and a half
wait,
later.
No, this is the one that's only like 3 months later. And then okay. The year and a half later.
That's true.
Is the
yes.
second one. Sorry, that was my bad. I'm really eager to talk about the year and a half one later because I just can't.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So their second date goes OK. Except the next day when they actually like hang out, she throws this strange tantrum that he calls her on. And then, she can't take the directness and she leaves. And again, she doesn't talk to him. It's a full year and a half later after that, that she connects with him one more time. And by this point, he is married with a child, with a new brand new baby, not just a child, but a brand new baby. Alice drops back in on his life as if he should be waiting for her, which he is, which is really sad for the wife, Lynn, played by Aisling Bea.
She's amazing, by the way.
She is wait. She's the best character in the whole show.
I wish this whole show was about her and her
yes.
character.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She and Paul are my two favorite characters so far.
Paul, I could take or leave, but Lynn is actually great. And the thing that the show doesn't seem to understand is that, well, many things, but let's start with this one. They make Lynn so awesome. Like, she's really like smart and sparkly and
yes.
adaptable and adult and mature and capable that it makes Alice looks so bad by comparison. Like,
so
I just,
bad.
Like, there's
well, and
no,
Jack, too.
Like, I just, he's never going to do better than her, like, literally ever.
Never.
And B, like, I'm supposed to be rooting for this deadbeat girl?
Yeah, it doesn't seem, it's really strange that the show wants you to be behind the Alice and Jack relationship, because they never give you
it's
anything.
Awful.
It's they're terrible people, they're terrible together, and they don't have any chemistry. Like, yeah.
And that is that is probably the biggest problem with the show, I think, is that because let me just underline this here, folks. This is the one show this spring that is not like 3 episodes long. There are 6 hours of this mess. 6 interminable hours of these two being the worst people on earth together. And I just like they really want this show to be like the prestige version of Netflix's One Day, I think, which has a similar sort of idea of like this one relationship that you can't let go of and how does it play out over like a decade of your life. But it doesn't, like, if that is the show, you need to cast and write that show like focused on one thing, and that is making me believe in or give a shit about that relationship at its center. And I do not care about them. I actually hope they both get hit by a car. Like, I don't want to see them together. I don't care if they get together. I actually desperately hope they do not get together. And I can't believe that there are four more episodes of this.
There were so many. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Annie.
No. Continue. I want you to get this all out before I actually start talking about the meta-ness of this. Okay. So please.
Okay.
Ahead.
All right. No,
did they screen test them? Like, there is like negative chemistry. I don't understand it.
Well, and it does seem like he has chemistry with Lynn, with Ashlyn B, which I think is honestly more about her because she's amazing. But like, there are so many times where you just want to smack Alice and Jack, like, over and over and over again. Annie, please.
Okay. So one of the problems that I had with the first two episodes is the pacing.
Oh, wait, I forgot one more thing I have to get out first. And that is, there is this one particular musical choice, and you guys will absolutely know what it is when I explain it, is that there is this one little like 12 note musical key, like on twinkly piano, that they play every time they're in a scene together. And I, at this point, two episodes in, am now having a Pavlovian response to every time I hear that little like twinky twink thing, that I want to like do something harm. Like, it's really is awful. Like, I don't know, what is that supposed to be conveying? That they're twee, that they're childish, that this is
no, that it's magic.
I don't know. It's so weird, and it's so constant. It's so constant.
It's supposed to be that when they get okay. So let's back up a little bit.
Sorry, I was like, I've got to remember to say that, because like it, to the two episodes that it was to the point where I wanted to like just break something, because it's like all the time and it's not even pretty.
Okay, so one of the first thing about this show that really struck me when I started watching it, because Alice and Jack was the show that Masterpiece brought to the Television Critics Association this winter. So we got all the screeners ahead of time and I started to watch it, and I fell asleep about somewhere around episode three, somewhere in the middle of episode three.
Oh, I fell asleep in the first episode. I'm not going to front.
Okay. So I should just warn you that I have actually watched past episode two, but not that much. Because the first time I watched it,
I will never put one more minute of this in my eyeballs. I will put that stake in the ground right now. I hope they both die at the end.
Okay. So I went sort of digging at that point before we actually had the panel to sort of figure out why the pacing of this felt so wonky. And what I discovered is that this was not...
A dude wrote it?
This was not meant to be a six-episode show. It was meant to be eight. And they ran out of money.
What?
They ran out of money.
I'm sorry. Wait, I'm sorry. Hold on. This was supposed to be longer?
Mm-hmm. So that's your first thing. Second thing, and this actually I did sort of know, but not quite to the point that I realized it. I knew that this was a Channel 4 show. And that it was brought to the Toronto International Film Festival. And that's where Masterpiece picked it up. What I did not actually know is that it wasn't actually made by Channel 4. It was made by a completely independent production company without a channel or a distributor attached in any country. It was made completely on spec, independently, by Victor Levin with Riceborough and Gleason.
Literally none of this explains why it's horrible.
Okay, no.
Like, anybody could, a child could make this and it could be better. Like, this is, I don't know, that is a fun fact.
No. Stop, stop, stop. The three of them made this. The three of them made this in a vacuum with no one.
This is a passion project.
This is a passion project for the three of them with no outside eyeballs. Nobody was outside of the group and outside of the three of them saying, hey, guys, we look at this from the outside and we have questions about your ideas of love. And I think that is a huge problem. So people who saw this, and a lot of people saw this and passed on it. This didn't get picked. This had a lot of trouble getting picked up until Suzanne Simpson, the executive director of Masterpiece saw it and fell madly in love with it. Now, I would like to remind you all that the last time Suzanne Simpson saw a show and fell madly in love with it and it became her passion project, that she literally personally went around to TV critics saying, "You must watch this. This is the greatest thing I've ever seen," was Guilt.
Well, Suzanne, you and I have different tastes.
So I think that piece of knowledge, when I ran into that piece of knowledge, suddenly I began to understand.
I can't believe this is supposed to be 8 episodes. Like, 6 episodes, I'm like, what are they going to do for 4 more episodes? I'll never know, but I'll wonder. Like, I don't know what they would do for 6 more episodes.
So part of the problem is that the first few episodes drag because they were filmed with the idea that they had more time, and that the final 3 episodes are sort of crunched because they thought they suddenly ran out of money. And also that this is a show where it was made with this without executives sort of overlooking it. It was the 3 people in the center who sort of, this is their take on love. Okay, this is their take on love. You either love it or hate it. And, well, we now know sort of what Suzanne Simpson's taste is. And we now know that the 2 of us, and also apparently our lovely recapper Marnie, all have a very different taste than she does. And so that is a very good thing for us to know. Now, that being said, I know that you have said that Masterpiece shouldn't do this again. I actually disagree with you highly here. I think it is extremely important for Masterpiece to get contemporary. I think they should do more contemporaries, and they should do more romances, and they should do more prestige type shows. I think there is a place for this in Masterpiece. I just think that this show in particular is a bad choice.
I'm just rolling back. I'm rolling back mentally through some of the more contemporary choices recently. There's Guilt, which I think we all know how I feel about that. What else is a real winner? Press.
Okay. Cobra.
That's another poop pile. What else?
I know. And I think
I think at some point you have to, like, maybe acknowledge there's some shortcomings when it comes to picking this content. And I don't know if it's because, like, you know, the choices are like more limited because, you know, they don't have the budget of an HBO or Warner's or whatever, so you have to, like, pick what you can get. But, like, BritBox gets plenty of perfectly serviceable contemporary stuff.
I was going to say, you know, Janet just did A Better Late Than Never for us on There She Goes, which is actually a stunningly brilliant series.
It's really good. I mean, I'm biased. It's got David Tennant in it, but it's good. And I mean, or get the A Word with Christopher Eccleston, or do, like, whatever the criteria is for a contemporary Masterpiece program right now is just not to my taste. And I don't think I'm alone in that. I can't wait to see, like, what people think about the show, because okay. I feel insane.
Well,
like,
okay.
Watching it, I feel insane.
Marnie?
I was just going to say your point about this being a passion project of the 3 of them, the writer, the 2 actors, it makes me think that there are definitely times when you need that outside influence. Like, there, some people are better with stricture. Some people are better with that overseeing influence of, yeah, absolutely. That they needed
These guys did this independently without any kind of, and you know, there's always this sort of romanticizing of, well, you know, we don't have the HBO brass over us. We don't have the XYZ brass over us. We can do what we want, right?
But then doing what you want results in not explaining, like, basic motivations of your primary characters.
Right.
Which is a simple, like, storytelling 101 kind of deal. Do I have any idea why Jack is so obsessed with Alice after
None.
2 hours? Not really.
None.
0. I guess he likes sleeping with her. I don't. That's all I got. Like,
yeah.
Literally, that's all the show tells me.
Yeah, I agree.
He blows up his life for her multiple times, and I have no idea why.
Yeah. I feel like that this is trying to be innovative. I feel that there is a real attempt to be innovative here. And I feel like they're trying to do something very original, okay? And I feel like that Riseborough and Gleason are really putting everything they have into these characters. But the problem is that the characters are just insufferable. I mean, yes. I cannot stand them, you know, and the fact is that, like, their idea of love as this sort of madness. OK, I disagree fundamentally.
Well, also, we've already had this conversation. Shakespeare did it hundreds of years ago. But my other point is, like, they do try. Donald Gleason. He's Mad Eye Moody's kid, right?
Yes. Brendan Gleeson.
That was his first name.
And just to put him in context for everybody who has seen major blockbusters, yes, he was the Weasley who was the wolf, and he was not Kylo Ren in Star Wars. Okay. So there you go.
Yeah, Brendan Gleeson, that's his name. Mad Eye Moody is not his real name. Like, he's very charming. But, like, he cannot spin gold out of straw that doesn't exist. Like, that character has no, like, interiority of any kind.
Yeah.
Like, it's honestly, like, I'm not sure that I think that the show could have actually done that on purpose if it had tried to.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
and for a character,
like, I feel like there's a way that if this show had any level of self-awareness, it would be so much better.
Right.
Like, if the show itself, like, the larger, I'm making, like, a crane motion with my hand, like, the larger kind of narrative structure of the show was having, like, kind of a meta conversation with the audience, like, that the show itself knows that these people are awful, and this is a terrible example of, like, what loving someone looks like, and why this is not behavior that should be modeled or idolized. Like, if it felt like the show had any kind of awareness about that, it would be completely different.
Yes,
it
I agree.
Not.
Well, and for a character who's supposed, Jack is supposed to be like a scientist researcher, he has no genuine curiosity about himself, about how he operates as a person in a relationship. He doesn't know how to be a person in a relationship. The many times that he blows his life up for Alice in the two episodes that we've seen so far is absolutely unforgivable. It's ridiculous. The drama is so manufactured by him.
Contrived too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
that's actually manufactured by him and contrived by the show. I think
right.
They're two different things. Because I'm sorry, if my ex rolled up to my house and was like, hey, will you come to my dead mom's funeral? You know what I would not be doing?
Going?
Is lying to my spouse about the fact that I was going with them to this. Insane. Like, it's just not even, like, logical.
No.
When he tells Lynn he's going to this funeral, did he actually tell her he's going to the funeral of an ex who is pregnant with syphilis? Because there's that line of dialogue. And I'm like, is that really the story that he went with?
That is really the story he went with.
And he's supposed to be, like, solving a totally, like, unknown genetic disease or something.
Yes.
Yeah. The lie is so obviously a lie. Right. And it's so painfully obvious to see through, and just everything about the way they bulldoze through the lives of others in the name of love is so ugly. And everything about
yes. I question whether or not I think it's even in the name of love.
Right?
I think maybe for him it is, because he's, like, infatuated with her for some, like, capital R reason that I don't know. But, like, why does she keep coming back into his life? Like, let's just be clear. Much like I don't know anything about Jack, I don't know anything about Alice, except that she is, like, a stereotypical, like,
manic pixie traumatized girl.
You see a lot of characters like this in fiction. Like, a girl who is just so busy, like, destroying herself and everything around her that she just, like, can't help but just, like, let all of it out. And you know, nothing like politeness or self-awareness or anything at all in there. But, like, I don't know. Like, if my mom died, I wouldn't roll back up to my ex's house. Like, none of this makes sense.
Nope. She makes no sense.
Like, it doesn't make sense why she keeps going back to him. And it doesn't make sense why she keeps not being with him. Like, if you're that obsessed with him, just date.
Just,
I ended the show.
Right.
I mean, honestly, like, I find everything about her as a character to be slightly offensive. And that is something that if it were deliberate, if this was being held up as romance as toxicity, I could get
behind it. Look how toxic your, like, really, you know, aspirational is not the word I want here, but, like, look how toxic your, like, dream of this kind of love is. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. look how ugly and painful and rude it is yeah. if it happened in real life.
Yeah. No.
But it doesn't do that at all. Instead, I think I'm supposed to be like, oh, no, her dad died at her mom's funeral. That's so tragic. Thank God he was there.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. It is excruciating. Honestly, watching Lynn get crushed under this is just excruciating.
I just want to watch a show about her.
Yes. I would if they had pivoted or will pivot at some point to like actually showing her character, that could be interesting. Like, she is the best. They're not going to do it because the damn show is called Alice and Jack. But, you know, like
the only
the
thing
question,
I can hope for is that child grows up and tells her father off. Like, that is the only thing I can hope for.
I'm waiting for that, honestly, because she, as the adult Celia, is credited with an actress, like a young adult actress. So I'm waiting to see if that's the road they're going to go with her.
But probably not. Let's be honest. She'll probably she'll probably meet Alice and forgive her father everything.
She'll probably think Alice is, like, so cool, who, like, takes her to, like, some edgy rock show or something. I don't know. I just hate this character so much.
Well, no, and there's that moment where she's holding the baby and Jack walks into the room and scares her. I swear to God, I thought she was going to drop the baby. I really thought she was going to drop the baby. Oh, my Lord.
So the other thing that I would also
wait, let's talk about that for a second. Who's like, here's the first night that I have with my child while we're working on our divorce sitch, but I'm going to have my crazy ex, sometimes not ex, hang out.
And spend the night.
Watch Law and Order ever.
Seriously, life choices make better ones.
But like at some point, like just the stacking up of all of these insane choices just makes the rest of the show feel like if this is supposed to, because that's what this show has been marketed as, is a really like realistic, contemporary, like really like gritty view of how it is to be in love with somebody, like whether you want to be or not. But the problem is that by stacking up like truly ridiculous, like this would never happen, choices on top of choices on top of choices on top of choices, it makes everything look like a joke.
Yes. And there is nothing authentic feeling about this. And you guys talked about the lack of chemistry between Gleason and Riseborough, which is a huge problem. And it's part of the reason why, like, when I discovered that this was made with no outside eyes, I was like, that's one of the things that this needed, is somebody to say these two have no chemistry. Nobody could see that because the three of them were so close to it they couldn't see that. Right. But it is
too
a major
enmeshed.
It is a major problem with the fact that these two have no chemistry, because if these two were so like, you just looked at them and you knew that the moment the camera cut away they were on the floor doing it every single which way from Sunday, like, yeah, okay, maybe I'd believe this, but there is
I think their kissing scenes look really gross and uncomfortable.
I mentioned that specifically in my recap, because their first kiss is like, it's like it's like preteens who don't know how to kiss and are like really super awkward with each other.
Yep.
And just kind of mashing
their
faces
into
each other.
Like, it is just wrong. Okay. I just, Lacey, you said that you were wondering how other people reacted to this. So as we have been talking about.
Did you pull some choice quotes? Because I would love to hear them.
My mother watched both Nolly and Alice and Jack last night.
Well, given how wrong your mom's opinion of Miss Scarlet is, I love you, Annie's mom. I hope you feel better. I don't know how to feel about this. But
she
we'll
disliked Nolly and didn't understand why she was watching it. She absolutely agreed with you that Helena Bonham Carter's performance is the worst thing about it. So you guys are on the same page.
It's because she just plays Helena Bonham Carter in everything. I said this last week, but she just is she's herself in everything.
Yep.
Which is fine. But not every role is Helena Bonham Carter.
Yes, absolutely. So yes, my mother absolutely agreed with you on that. And she didn't understand who Noel Gordon was. And my mother is the right age to know who Noel Gordon should have been. So like that, the fact that she didn't know any of that, yep, totally didn't understand why she was supposed to care about the character. Was like, how is this supposed to be realism? Art, you never had a relationship like that, did you?
What did you say?
I said, no, Ma, I made other totally horrid choices.
Different bad choices.
I made different bad choices in life.
Maybe we all did. But like...
like, I never dated that. No, I never dated that. I dated my share of bad men, but never that. No, I never.
The thing is, though, now that I'm listening to you say this, I'm not actually sure if he's a bad person.
No,
mostly he's just like a cipher.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like he does. Like Alice, I feel confident is a bad person. I don't know if Jack is because I don't.
I feel like he
Jack
is,
doesn't
though.
Have a personality.
I mean, well, okay, all right. It's true. He does not have a personality.
I mean,
he treats Lynn horribly. Yeah. No. That's where I'm coming from. Is he's treating Lynn like a doormat, which she is not.
I feel that there are men who are attracted to disasters in this world.
Oh yeah,
true.
And he is that kind of guy. He is the guy.
Is this like a savior situation?
Yes. Yeah. Savior complex.
There's
like
he
he's
has
gonna
it.
Like fix her.
Yeah, it's partly a savior complex, but it's also, and I think this comes out with the Lynn situation, that he is the kind of guy who desperately needs drama in his life. That normality is boring to him and he cannot actually like maintain a stable normal relationship. He has to be with somebody who's damaged because he doesn't know how to function as a partner. He only knows how to function as a savior.
See, I could almost buy that if he was the one that came from like the broken abusive home, because that is, I think, what a lot of people, you know, grow up in kind of traumatic situations like do. But, you know, because they seek it out because mm-hmm. that's what they are used to having and that's how they're used to seeing love presented to them.
Yeah.
Like to them, that's what it looks like.
Yes, it's how their puzzle piece is carved, as I like to say.
He just seems like really boring. Yeah. I don't know. Like I hate her, but at least she has some like depth as a character in terms of like
why she is the way she is.
And I mean, it's not great.
No, it's not.
But it's there.
There's more interest.
Yeah, she desperately needs to go to therapy and not date for 15 years. He
Seriously.
Just needs to, like, I don't even know.
He also needs to go to therapy. Like, this whole show is basically, like, what people will do instead of go to therapy.
Well, and when he approaches Lynn with the marriage proposal, at first, I was like, oh, he's actually fallen for her. Like, he's telling her all these lovely, wonderful, romantic things of, like, you were the person who I thought of when I was a child. Like, if I could have, you know, dreamt of the woman I was going to marry, it would be you. I was like, okay, maybe he's really, you know, maybe he's really into this relationship. And then you realize, no, that's just him. He just didn't want her to get rid of the baby. And that was entirely about him. Completely about him.
Which is kind of really wild looking at later how like non-involved of a dad he is.
Right? How completely he fails as a father mm-hmm. in the very first instant that he's given the chance to prove himself. Yeah.
Yeah. I just cannot get over this as, you know, maybe it's just the huge like There's a line about a Kremlin-sized collection of red flags.
yes.
And I just like that. I actually wrote that one down because I thought that was I was like yes, but in a totally different context than you mean, lady. You know, honestly, like my reaction to this show was just this is not how I define love in any way, shape, or form, and I understand that there are people out there for whom this is what they when they think of love, this is really what they think of. But
really?
Okay, wait. I watch, as many of you know, I watch a lot of bad reality television.
You do. I know. I love it.
To include Love is Blind, which had a subplot maybe two seasons ago about a girl who broke up with the guy that she was engaged to because he wasn't willing to be aggressive enough with her. And like, it was very disturbing, but we talked about this a lot in my group chat where we watch all of our horrible reality together. And it really felt like, you know, like this was one of those things where like this is a pattern that you watch in your home life or that you watch growing up and then you project it and repeat it in your own life. And that's what it feels like the show should be, because it's nothing but like things you need to go to therapy for, but just like behavior that is in no way I started to say admirable, but what I mean, like aspirational, maybe I do mean aspirational here. This is not what you should be modeling like anything romantic on.
No, absolutely
a lot
not.
Of it feels like stalking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Guys, if a girl tells you no, yeah, delete her number.
That line where he's like, there was something in the subtext. And I was like, oh, no, you did not.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is some serious BS.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, it's like, it's really like uncomfortable, like, signs that are not that, like, relationships should not be like this. Mm-hmm. And trying to model this as some like epic, like they just have to be together because the feelings they have for each other are so unstoppable is really kind of gross.
Yeah. I
totally agree.
I just it bothers me a lot. I thought there's a level where I thought we were past this, you know, I'm bringing up you because I love
that. I'm ready. You know, I love you. You and you with the show.
You know, one of the things, you know, Lifetime created you to make fun of itself and all of its shows, which was.
Wait, really?
Yes.
No, it's based on books. It's based on books. That's not true. It's okay. Based on a series of novels.
It is meant to
mock the nice guy trope.
Yes, and
that's the center of the show.
And it tried to sell the show as making fun of itself, and it went nowhere on the network because the people who watched Lifetime were not prepared for that. And so it moved to Netflix and immediately found a huge audience. And so I sort of felt like, okay, you know, we've got it now. Like we know that these tropes are crap and we know that these tropes are dangerous and we know that these tropes are bad, right? No, apparently we don't. I'm not happy. I'm not happy. These are bad tropes.
These are bad people.
These are bad tropes. And as I said, I really do think there is space for contemporary British shows on Masterpiece. And I feel that there are contemporary shows. You know, I brought up There She Goes, but, you know, there's other ones, again, on BritBox. You know, for whether or not you love shows like, there's just, like, maybe
like I said before, the A Word is another great example.
Yeah.
There was Single Father. I'm sorry, I'm just going down like the David Tennant.
Of course you are. Of course you are.
But like, I mean, he does a lot of those.
Yes, he does.
Normal dramas.
Yes, and they don't have to be mysteries, right? The Nest.
I mean, just stay away from Inside Man. It doesn't make any sense.
Okay, that's true. But that was also Steve Moffat, and that's why it makes no sense. But, you know, there's a lot of these that do exist and are good and have no mystery element to them whatsoever and can be, like, there is a space for these on Masterpiece. And I do think that there is, that Masterpiece should be trying to work outside the box and that Downton Abbey isn't the contemporary for Masterpiece, that there is a place for the 21st century here and that this is just a bad example, but that we shouldn't throw out the concept just because what we were given is the wrong thing, you know?
Look, all I know is when you keep making the same mistake, you get privileges revoked until you have shown that you cannot make that mistake.
That's true. I mean, okay, I think the other thing is like Sherwood. And this is actually the thing that, like,
oh,
something
I don't
like
know why I immediately thought you were talking about Robin Hood. And I was like, that's not contemporary.
Okay, but Sherwood, which was on Britbox.
I'm back now.
Okay, Sherwood, which was on BritBox, which starred Leslie Manville and just like literally like every A-lister in England, was basically people didn't see it because it was lost on BritBox. And God, it was so good. And had that been on Masterpiece, on PBS, it would have gotten a huge audience and people would have seen it and it would have actually like made a splash. It might have even gotten some Emmy nominations. Okay? Like, that's the kind of thing I want to see Masterpiece Contemporary picking up. And I don't understand why they're not. It was political. It was romance. It had everything. It had everything. It was so good. And I instead they're giving me this drivel and I'm mad. Okay. That is what I came here to say today.
I don't. This spring is the Lord is testing me. This spring.
I'm telling you, you wished on a monkey's paw. And as soon as I find that monkey's paw, I'm taking a hammer to it.
This spring has been rough.
The only way you get rid of a monkey's paw is somebody else has to wish on it. So you're going to have to pass that bad luck on somehow.
No. Hammer. Nobody else needs bad luck. Have you seen these 2020s? I am tired of this.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
We just need to get rid of the monkey's paw completely. No more bad luck for anyone. This 2024 is fired.
There are four more episodes of this.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say. I truly cannot understand how they're going to tease this out for four more episodes.
Well, I mean, it does cover 15 years. So they're just going to keep on making terrible. They're just going to keep on.
Lord.
It's like a teenager's lifespan.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to get up to the age of Celia being an adult of some sort.
Or a teenager, young teen.
Yeah. Mid-teen. Yeah.
So, yeah, at this point, like, you know, we've just got a whole lot of more bad life choices for these two to make and a lot more people to basically be miserable about.
Rolling over.
Yep. To basically get bulldozed.
No, I mean, because it inevitably Jack is going to get into another relationship to try to get over Alice, and that is going to blow up as well because Alice will come back.
Yep.
Because this is the revolving situation that we have been shown.
And I am so thankful that I have your smart to read.
The only thing I could see this ending is either they stay together forever, which
one of them dies.
No.
One of them dies, it's gonna be her.
Or one of them like kills the other.
Nope. One of them dies, it's gonna be her. Watch, it could be cancer. Or something of that kind.
Probably. I mean, I looked at the I saw the description of the final episode sort of gives you that idea that something like that is going to happen. But I don't know.
We'll go full come what may at the end of Moulin Rouge kind of thing. You know, maybe she'll die of consumption.
Oh, another painful.
Maybe we'll just die of consumption. You know, bring back consumption.
Just a little bloody cough. There,
yeah,
you know.
Fine.
Consumption still exists. It's just called tuberculosis. Just saying, for everyone who doesn't
true.
Know, like,
that's true.
Get TB tested if you work at a healthcare facility.
Consumption, modernized itself. So,
so can Masterpiece. Damn it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
This show is bad, and I feel a little bad for how mean I've been to it, but also
I do feel bad because it's clearly they cared about this so much, and that makes me sad because there so much goes into a production, the writing, the acting, the finding of the locations, like there's so much that went into this, and that it came out so poorly is really tragedy.
It's like honestly painful. I keep thinking of that line they put in all the trailers about where Alice, they're sitting in that like wheat field or whatever it is. And she's all like, if I could choose, she's breaking up with him. And she's like, if I could choose to be with anyone, it would be with you.
Be
and
with
I'm like,
you.
Girl, why don't you just be with him? What is happening?
It will end in ruins.
I am so thankful I have your snark to get me through this, Marnie.
I am so thankful you are recapping this because I was on deck for this. And while I think everybody might enjoy my spiraling rage and sanity, it probably wouldn't be good for me. So thank you for taking
the team. Now the snark will flow and we'll find our way through this together. You and I, audience.
I know that much like many websites, we don't have a comment section anymore. But I wish we did just for this, because I would love to know. I would love to read people's thoughts. So on that note, if you have thoughts, please email us. We are at televisions@weta.org. Tell me if I am crazy and this is actually not the worst thing I've watched all year, because I think it might be the worst thing I watched all year. So share your thoughts. I would love to see how people are reacting to this, just because part of me feels like I just must be crazy. Like it can't possibly be as bad as I think it is. But I think it is. And that is upsetting.
Listen, it's only March. You've got 9 more months.
I don't know. The bar is high. This is like Olympic.
Saying.
This is like Olympic high. Olympic record
saying.
High.
There could be worse.
And Guilt hasn't even premiered yet.
I'm saying there's an entire other season of Guilt we got to through.
Right. No, and here you are. You're tempting fate again. You're telling this on the podcast that
I don't know. I feel like it's worse. I don't know. I'm putting my stake in the ground early. This is going to be the worst thing I watch this year.
Okay. Well, if Guilt season 3 is even worse, we know who to blame.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, I won't know because I won't be watching it. So it's fine. Let yourself be free of things that are annoying. And that is what I'm doing. So I would I do really want you guys to email us, because I would like to hear some people's thoughts on this that aren't just me like yelling at the television, which I was doing earlier. But Marnie, thank you for taking one for the team and recapping. And thank you for joining us for our Vent Fest today. And tell the people where they can read more of your snark.
Indeed. I am Marnie Cerise. I am on Twitter at Cerise Marnie. And I have just started an Instagram, Cerise.Marnie. So that's where you can find me promoting my television stuff.
Woohoo! I will give you something better next after this is over.
Oh, no. I've already promised her she can have Professor T season 3 as a consolation prize.
Consolation.
For having put up with this.
my carrot for the stick.
Yeah. Because Professor T season 3 will be coming soon. It is already debuting in the UK. It has a UK debut, and we're hoping to grab one here soon. Fingers crossed, guys.
Your turn. Go.
Yeah, I am Annie Bundle everywhere on the internet. I am the associate editor here at Televisions, and I also freelance for MSNBC and Primetimer. So you can basically find out what I wrote today because just Google me. I might have remembered to social media it, but also I'm taking care of my mom a lot. So sometimes just forget to just Google me. Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Huzzah. I am Lacey MB on any and all social media platforms, even the ones that we all joined for 2 days when we were trying to figure out where to go when Twitter died. But we're all, still hanging in there and at many other places. So come be my friend. Read all my words. I write a lot here at Televisions and around the entertainment web, but I always tweet my bylines or skeet them or thread them or whatever we're calling all the various verbs that mean to post something. If you just want the site, we are at Televisions Blog, all one word, on Facebook, or just come directly to the source at televisions.org, where we have news updates, recaps, reviews, listicles, me screaming into the void about whatever I'm mad about. I don't know. I feel like I got a lot out here, so maybe I won't write about this. We'll see. But if you really like all the content we're making, you can click on that donate button up top to help us keep making even more of it and get early access to all of the spring shows, including Called Midwife and Nolly and this show that
And Mr.
Exists.
Bates when it comes.
All right, Mr. Bates when it comes. I'm really counting on the midwives and Mr. Bates to get me through a lot this spring, so fingers crossed. That is our show. Thanks, as always, for being with us. Enjoy the super nice weather out there, DC. It is peak bloom as we are recording this. By the time this drops, it will probably all be gone because peak bloom is like a blink and you'll miss it thing. I'm sorry to everybody that comes here to see them. It's like impossible to predict. But allergy medicine, get some COVID boosters, do it if you haven't yet, and do something nice for a stranger. It is the season for a lot of religious festivals where we think about like what we're doing with our lives and how to be better people. So let's try that. Anyway, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.